Shabbat shalom, y'all. Haven't been around for a while. But, I've gotten out of the brace. I'm walking around. This is actually a good thing. My brains are still a little scrambled, so I get a little dizzy when I walk and stuff like that. Gotta go with a cane. But that will be taken care of when I get up to Caribou, Maine and do my physical therapy. We're gonna take off for there in a couple of weeks. Good to be back on, and I hope you all enjoy hearing my voice for a change instead of just seeing me type on Pal Talk. Thought I'd give you a quick rundown. Pretty much most of you know what all went down, but I was cutting a tree down on my property that was threatening to fall over across my lane. So started cutting on the thing, and the tree where I was cutting was really vital. I cut the notch out, and I came back around the other side, and I started to cut that, and it saw it starting to fall exactly the way I wanted it to. And then I woke up Wednesday morning. This all started on Sunday afternoon. I woke up Wednesday morning in the intensive care unit in the hospital. And my two kids who live in Colorado are at the foot of my bed. And I'm going, what the heck is going on here? This is pretty wild. They tell me that the first thing I said when I came out of a coma was, where's the coffee? Or something like that. But that's not what I remember saying when I woke up. I said, what are you guys doing here? And as it turns out, Sunday after I got whacked on the head with a tree and tree parts, because now I've taken a look at it, I see that the top of the tree was rotted. And when it started to fall, probably a bunch of stuff that broke off of the top of the tree fell straight down and got me. I have this great big dent in the top of my head. I never thought that would happen. I mean, I'm a Sicilian, you know. I thought my skull was so thick, ain't nothing could have done it. I wasn't worried about sledgehammers falling on me from 50 feet up, but as it turns out, these rotten tree parts got me pretty good. I'm sorry? Yeah, then when we got to the hospital, the neurosurgeon came and talked to my wife. And they lifelighted me to the hospital, so she caught up about 40 minutes later. I was wheeled into the hospital. She caught up about 40 minutes later. She had to drive. So the neurosurgeon came in to talk to her in his brain. He's got a bleed in his brain. As it turns out, it was what's called an epidural hematoma, which between the skull and the brain, there's a layer called the dura. And that an epidural hematoma is one that's above the dura. And subdural hematoma is the one that's between the dura and the brain. And that's the one that is, there was a big empty space in my brain, there always has been. But the subdural hematoma is the one that is really, really dangerous. So Yah was watching out for me. The one that he gave me was not the really bad one. The epidural hematoma is blood, and it's bad. I lost at least 2 quarts of blood. But it's in such a place that it doesn't impinge on the brain, okay? Yah was watching out for me there. So in order to get in there, they had to drill through the skull, and then they had to take off a part of the skull from there, and get inside and clean it all up. So they did all that. They stopped most of the bleeds. There were some very minor bleeds that were happening still after that, but they were very minor. And within a week, they were all healed. So that was how I got out of the hospital so quick. The Yah also watched out for me in the fact that he gave me the best neurosurgeon in the area to work on my brain. He happened to be the guy on call. I mean, go figure. You know, there are lots of neurosurgeons around. They had the best one in the area. The guy that everybody recognizes as the best in the area is the one that's on call. So he showed up and he went to my wife and he said, you know what? There is no promise. I cannot promise you. There's no guarantee that your husband is going to get off this table alive. And if he does, there's the what do they call that? This part of the occipital lobe. The occipital lobe had been hit as well. And he said that is the thing that controls sight. He said even if he gets off the table alive, I can't promise you that he'll be able to see. Okay? So anyway, he said, now it's my job to stop that bleed. If I can stop the bleed, my job is done, and that's what I'm here for. He said, we'll see him in a week or two, and we'll see how things are going. So that's what he did. He went in, he stopped the bleeding, closed up. Well, actually, he left it for other people to close up because the surgeons don't actually do that anymore. They have subcontractors or whatever to come in and do that. they hired the insulation guy to come and close it all up. So yeah, they used some caulk, whatever. Anyway, 4 days later, I wake up in the hospital. Actually, about 3.5 days later, I wake up in the intensive care unit. And the next day, they moved me out of the intensive care unit into a regular room in the hospital because the bleeding had all been stopped. Well, yeah, and this is the stuff that you guys were praying for, okay? All you guys out there that were praying for me, your prayers were answered to the letter, okay? Everything that you were asking for came to pass. So take that as a encouragement to your faith, because you're going to need it. The days that are coming are going to be very, very bad. And you need to take this lesson into this with you, that your prayers, if you're doing what Yah wants you to do, your prayers will be answered. Okay? He's promised that. And he only fulfills his promises to those people who are living his way. So you do what he told you to do, and your prayers will be answered. Okay? You walk as Yeshua walked, and you will get results like Yeshua got. I'm telling you, Yeshua told us that we would do greater things than he did if we believed. And I'm telling you, we haven't been doing greater. We haven't been doing the things he did, much less greater things than he did. So we should keep this all in mind. He is going to be faithful to those people who are faithful to him. Okay? Keep that all in mind. Now, 7 days I was in the hospital. They moved me on the 8th day to rehab. How the heck does that happen? Yeah, the 8th day, new beginnings. They moved me on the 8th day to rehab. I went to see the physical therapist the next day. The guy in charge of physical therapy there, of actually doing the physical therapy there, he, by the way, has a PhD in physical therapy. So he says, Mark, I got to, after the 1 day, he says, Mark, I got to tell you something. I'm used to sending people out of here in the condition you're in today. He said, this is really encouraging to me because you're going to be doing a lot better when you leave here than most people are. Okay? So, again, Yah's faithfulness to answer your prayers. Okay? This is just so cool. Every step of the way, Yah is answering your prayers. Every step of the way. So I'm there for another 13 days in the rehab. While I was there, they took an x-ray because I don't know why they suspected it, but they suspected that I had some pneumonia. So they took an x-ray in my bed, okay? And sure enough, they showed something in my right lung they thought was pneumonia. They called it pneumonia. They gave me antibiotics for pneumonia. After being on the antibiotics for a day, and it didn't feel like it was doing anything else, I said to myself, you know, this is stupid. Antibiotics are not going to work. These people praying for me, that's what's going to do it. So I quit taking the antibiotics. I said, I'm done with this pneumonia stuff. Okay? And again, they did another x-ray, no pneumonia. No spot on the lung. Okay? So your prayers did that again. I'm sure it was not the little bit of antibiotics that I did that killed the pneumonia. It was your prayers that killed the pneumonia. Yahweh himself doing it. Let's see. Was out of, was sent home, kind of. What happened was that Oliver's, of Oliver 1234, Oliver's came up and they helped my wife to make the house ready for a crip. Okay, that's me, a crip. And Stephen Oliver came and bailed me out of the rehab place and took me over to my in-law's house where I stayed for 2 days. Stephen, thank you, by the way, in case I didn't thank you then. I think that he was kind of nervous because there were a whole lot of Millers. That's my wife's maiden name. There were a whole lot of Millers around and only the one Oliver, so he only hung around for 2 or 3 hours and then left. And I think it was because he was afraid that it would be too much for me. Having all those Millers and him. I mean, what a pain that guy is, you know, Stephen Oliver. So, but it was, the 2 days there were really restful and it was good. And then Monday, after they'd gotten the house ready, my wife came up and got me. And we were driving home. On the drive home, we drive a Jeep. And it rides kind of like a pickup truck. And it's got, the suspension is not like a car. It's more like a pickup truck suspension. And man, I don't think I got but about a third of the way home, and I was going nuts with the pain. So I had her pull off the road and got out and asked Yah to make it better, you know, because I'm freaking out. The pain is so bad. So got back in the car, reclined the seat a little bit, moved a little to one side so that the and Yahweh answered the prayer and the pain pretty much went away, and I kind of napped all the way home. Again, Yahweh's faithful. Absolutely faithful. Then we had doctor's appointments. The end of the first week, I went to see the neuro-otologist. Is that correct? And he had another CAT scan done. This one specifically to look at the base of the skull around the left ear. And he found there. Oh, by the way, the in case you didn't know. The tree and the stuff that fell from above broke 7 vertebrae in my neck and back, 4 in my neck and 3 in my back. And I was running around in a servothoracic brace. That thing was murder. It was hell. That thing really and truly was hell. Not able to move my head more than a half an inch or so to one side or the other, or up and down very much. And my wife got improper hugs. She just complained about it just now. And, you know, because I was 5-6 inches further away from her trying to lay a hug on her. So anyway, the neuro-otologist did the CT scan, and he found 7 breaks or cracks in the base of my skull that impinge on my hearing on my left side. We're working on that. That's healing, and my hearing is getting better, but it still isn't good. Let's see. Yah is healing that too, by the way. That's another thing. You need to pray for that for me so that I can get all my hearing back, because I'm believing Yahweh for a complete healing, not just a partial. Okay. I want my hearing back in my left ear. Let's see. So I went to see him, and he said, you know, one of the breaks ran up to the aperture in the skull through which my jugular vein flows. And he said, you know, I'd like to get an angiogram done to make sure that this is not, you know, that there isn't any problem with the flow of blood, because I don't want this to go into an aneurysm, you know. And I agree with him on that. So I went to get that taken care of this past Friday. And I'm going to get the film on that Monday. So again, need prayers for that. What he told me was that if there had this crack, by the way, that goes through that aperture, it actually goes through the aperture, leads up to it, and then it starts again exactly opposite it, that end, and runs another half inch or an inch. So, and the carotid artery, not the carotid artery, but the jugular vein is running through there. He said that if that had slid even just a millimeter, it would have cut the jugular, and there would have been no way to stop the bleed. Okay? So, again, Yahweh watching out for me. Okay? There were angels, there had to have been angels around me the whole time, stopping this stuff from... when my... The guy that drove me out to Columbus to get this CT scan, he said, you know what, Mark? This is the night before... Earlier in the day before I had the CT scan, this guy said, you know what, Mark, I get the impression that the Father said you can go this far and no further. Okay? And I relate that to Job and his trials, okay, where Yahweh said, okay, well, you can take his property, but you can't touch him. Yeah. Okay, you can make him sick, but you can't take his life. You can go this far, but no further. Okay? And I really think that's what happened. He gave Satan only that much permission. And I really think that Satan wanted to kill me. And why he would want to kill me, because I'm not that much of a threat to him, I don't know. But I really do think he wanted to. But Yah wouldn't let it happen. He had angels around me protecting me from him. I'm sorry, what? Oh, I'll tell you what. What I'm saying right now is a big threat to Satan, okay? And if he thought that he was going to kill me and that was going to do it, and Yah stopped it, believe me, I'm going to be talking. Every chance I get, I make a testimony about what happened here. Okay, so, and that's what's going on here. You're getting a testimony. So, the CT scan, got that done. We're in the doctor's office, and he's going over the CT scan on the computer. And he's showing us all these different breaks and the one that goes across the jugular vein and all of that. And he tells us about this. And my sister-in-law, who's the audiologist that recommended this doctor, when she was with my wife at Sam's Club or Costco or someplace like that, getting some stuff, and she said, you know what, while I was watching him, while he was giving us that rundown, I was thinking, God said, you can only go this far and no further. You know, exactly the same words that my buddy had used earlier in the day, before the CT scan. Absolute confirmation. Okay, that's what happened. We had two prophets that day confirm that Satan was trying to do it, and Yahweh said, you can go this far and no further. Okay, so what's happening now is that Yah is using me to make these testimonies. And I'm testifying to everybody I possibly can that Yahweh kept me alive, keeps me on this side of the turf. That's a really nice thing, by the way. By the way, I did get to do the second Passover in Lisbon, near Lisbon, Lithuania. So I wasn't able to do Passover because I was in the hospital on the first day. But we went out and did the second Passover. And so we're still cool. Anyway, let's see. Where was I? Ah, that was the neurootologist. I still have, by the way, this whatever it was broke 7 teeth in my head. I actually sheared off 6 of them, and the other one is very loose and needs a root canal. As it turns out, I went to what my dentist told me that next Monday. That was like the 3rd. We made an appointment with an endo. Anyway, the guy that specializes in root canals. And he looked at these teeth that are broken off, and he says the only way to actually save them, to keep them in your head for longer than a year or two, is to do root canals on all of them. So I need to have 7 root canals done, okay? Or I have to have them completely removed and replaced with something else. Whether it's an upper or studs and crowns. I don't know, but we'll talk to the dentist about that. That'll be this week. I'll talk to the dentist about that. Let's see. Later in the week, we went to who was it? We went to. Can't remember who the guy was. Oh, I'm sorry. I went to the ophthalmologist to see if there was any major damage done to my eyes. As it turns out, my eyes are fine, but they've gotten worse. This is, by the way, due to the accident. I'm more nearsighted or more astigmatized, whatever it is. And it could also be, well, yeah, but I was seeing fine with the glasses I'm wearing before, and I'm not now. I mean, I can barely see you people over there. So I can read what's up for a slide right now, but it's kind of shaky. Yeah, by the way, when I first got whacked, I had double vision. And I had that for about 2.5 weeks.
What was the blessing behind that?
The double vision is gone now. The real blessing behind that is they stole my beard. You know? Wait a minute. The blessing behind the double vision was I got to see two of my wives. Okay? I got to look at her, and there were two of her. The bad thing about that was I had to look at two of Bootstrap or two of Bill Pathless, you know. I mean, that's just terrible. Or if I were shaving, I'd look at two of me. Oh, that's even worse. But that has resolved itself, so the double vision is gone, thanks to the prayers of the saints and the faithfulness of Yahweh. Oh, yes. I have my son's best friend. It has a child who's going to turn 5 this week. And he used to call me Grandpa Longbeard. See, his other grandfather has a close crop beard, kind of like the one that Phil is working on right now, sporting at this moment. I had the long beard, you know. Well, when I went in there, they saw the thing was all matted down with blood and stuff. There was blood everywhere. And my son was very, very frightened when he looked at me the first time. You know, I'm sitting on the hillside, and he looks at me, and there's the blood is just down both sides of my head. It's in my beard, and this is what he tells me anyway, because I wasn't aware. After all, I didn't remember anything after I got whacked, but they shaved the beard off. They clipped my hair down to next to nothing, so that they could do the surgery, and. You know, well, anyway, now I'm Grandpa No Beard, not Grandpa Longbeard. But that's going to change. I'm out of the brace now. I'm going to die. I shaved for the last time day before yesterday. So, the beard is coming back, and I got to have it because it keeps people from being really frightened when they look at me. You know, I got this Quasimodo look going on, you know what I mean? But you know what? Seriously, 40 days after the accident, I went to the neurosurgeon again. My first visit to the neurosurgeon, as a matter of fact. And I said, you know what? I have no pain in my back other than the muscles alongside the back straps and the muscles on my neck that are there to protect that vertebrae. I think it's healed. You know, I've got all these people praying for me, and I really think that it's healed. I said, can we look at them, and then you tell me whether or not they're healed so I can get this brace off? The thing was hell to live with. It really was. So he said, sure, we can take those pictures. So I went and got some CTs and some x-rays, and he said he would look at them and be back to me before I left that day. Well, 12:30 comes along, and we're the only people in the waiting room. And I went and asked them what happened, and they said, oh, well, the doctor must have forgotten about you because he went to lunch and he's not coming back until next week. So, oh, well, so yeah, he's going to make me patient for another 3 days. So, you know, I live with the thing until Monday. Monday I called and they said, the doctor won't be in until tomorrow. So had to wait until Tuesday, another day. This is Yahweh testing my patience again.
40 days.
It was 40 days. And wait, he took the CT and the X-rays. He checked them on Tuesday morning. Well, Tuesday afternoon, about 1 o'clock, I get a call from his secretary. She said, "Take the brace off." So the brace was ready to come off Friday. Okay? I was healed in 40 days. Okay? And I had to wait till 44 days to take the brace off. That was a test of my patience. But I was healed in 40 days.
Four is the number of creation.
40 is the number of testing. That's right. Of what is it? Probation. Okay. So, my wife over here. Ah, my wife just reminded me to thank you all, by the way, who sent cards and letters and gifts. I'm serious. I mean, they are such a testimony to me as to maybe why Satan wanted to take me out. Because it's incredible the amount of reaction it's gotten from y'all. I thank you so much that you love me. For what reason, I don't know. But you do. And you're following Yahweh's word. You are seeing where need exists, and you're supplying it to the best of your ability. Okay? Some of you have sent some money. Some of you have sent some gifts. Linda Carwell, by the way. I don't know what your Pal Talk sign-in is, but let me know where you are, because she sent me a robe that she made for me, a linen robe. It's gorgeous, by the way. I don't care if you aren't a seamstress. It looks beautiful. She said in the letter, you know, I'm not a seamstress, as you can tell by looking at this, but it looks pretty darn good to me. And she got the linen from Zipporah Rochelle online. So if you can find her, that's a good place to get all kinds of Hebraic clothing. Okay. One. Oh, and by the way, Jocelyn, specifically, you are like the engine that ran the whole thing. You must have been online like immediately. As soon as you found out I was hurt, you must have gotten online and told everybody, because we had literally thousands of people in this world on at least six continents praying for me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was in the Navy for 23 years. There are Navy guys right now down in Antarctica. Why aren't they praying for me? Okay, that's the seventh continent. Okay? You Navy guys, you got to get it together here. You're down there at Operation Deep Freeze. Actually, you're probably just coming home from it. But it's... Oh, that's right. It's winter down there. So that they are down there now. Okay? So... all you guys out there, you Navy guys that may be listening in, or anybody out there that knows a Navy guy who is at Operation Deep Freeze, let them know. Okay? We could use all the prayers we can get. Let's just take a trip to Antarctica. Eddie might be going to Australia, right? I mean, maybe you could just make a side trip. Yeah. We got a package from Australia we haven't picked up yet? It's at Jocelyn's house. Oh, whoever you are, that's probably... I can't remember his name right now on Facebook. Oh, it's a woman sent it? Okay, well, somebody else. I didn't know we had more than one person listening in Australia. We'll be picking that up on the 19th at Jocelyn's house. Okay. Let's see. That's pretty much covers it. We're going up either the 20th or the 21st. We're going to be leaving. The 20th probably we'll be leaving for Maine. Expect it to take 2 days. So we'll be there in time for Shavuot. We have been offered physical therapy, occupational therapy, and lodging for as long as it takes by this young lady, Betty Jean
Gallagher.
Betty Jean Gallagher and her husband Richard. Okay? She visited our campsite in at Sukkot in 2008 in Oklahoma. While she was there, Rico was complaining of some back troubles, and she provided him with physical therapy. And Rico called me while I was at Edwin Shaw on Monday morning. Rico calls me. You know, I know Rico, but I don't know him that well. He doesn't have my cell phone. He must have got it from somebody. So he got it from my wife. Okay. Anyway, he calls me and he says, if you don't accept the physical therapy from this woman, you're crazy. She worked on me while we were at Sukkot a couple of years ago, and it's the best physical therapy I ever had. I've been trying to get her for 2 years to move to Florida. Okay? He's been trying to get her to move to Florida for 2 years because it's the best physical therapy she ever had, and she offered it to me for free. Again, why is it that people, why do people love me? It's a gift. No, why do people love me, really and truly? It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm just a blowhard over here, you know? Anyway, I want to thank her. We'll be coming up. I expect to be leaving here on the 20th and getting there by the 22nd, because the evening of the 22nd begins Shavuot. I want to make sure that we're ready for that day. Anyway, that's pretty much all I got. Any questions or comments, you people out there? You got anything out there that's, or is it just a bunch of hallelujahs and thanks, Mark, and all that stuff?
Hallelujah.